you'd like to stand and stretch just a minute, we'll read a couple of verses there tonight. Exodus 17. It's good to see you out on an old, cool February night. This is better than the best jail I know of, though. And I'm glad we're free tonight from the bondage of sin. Exodus chapter number 17. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." In verse number 2, "The people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' Moses cried to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? For they be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people. Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach out of verse number 6 on the smitten rock. The smitten rock. Now, there are a lot of representations tonight in our Bible of the Lord Jesus. There are a lot of things that God laid down before the cross that gives us a representation of what God has done for us by His Son Jesus. I'm convinced tonight this Bible starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Every song we sing, something ought to be about Jesus. Every testimony we have to say, it ought to be something about Jesus. Every sermon we preach, it ought to be something about Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer. That's an old slogan tonight, but Jesus is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And that's the Lord Jesus. I want to share with you some truths tonight out of verse number 6 about this smitten rock. I want to tell you, first of all, the Bible teaches there was a plan about a smitten rock. Now, isn't it amazing that the children of Israel, the Bible said, verse 1, all the congregation of the children of Israel, they journeyed from the wilderness of what? Sin. Boy, isn't that just where you and I found ourselves? I mean, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Now, we do not simply sin because of a society. We don't just sin because of the world. We sin because we're sinners. That's all we ever knew to do. We were born in the transgression of sin. When Adam sinned in the garden, he plunged total mankind into depravity, and we have a depraved nature. That's why you don't have to teach your children to lie or to cheat or steal. It comes naturally to them. Comes naturally to us to do wrong. Matter of fact, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flesh don't like to go to church. Flesh don't like to pray. Flesh don't like to preach. And flesh sure don't like to hear about preaching. But honey, the Spirit of God tonight will set you free and help you in this journey from sin. I go back to a time when I walked that way and talked that way, but I'm glad one blessed day that the Lord Jesus appeared in my wilderness of sin.
And I'm glad something came out that changed my life. It wasn't the Baptist church, and it was not religion, but I was born again by the sweet grace of God. I'm glad tonight no longer do I march in the wilderness of sin, but I've turned and I'm walking from sin with the Holy Ghost by the friend of the heavenly Lamb tonight. I'm glad one day He reached me in my march in sin and brought me to the blessed rock of Horeb. Now there is a plan of the smitten rock. I'm going to tell you, friend, that here as we see this smitten rock, it's a great representation of Calvary and our lovely Jesus. There was a plan about this smitten rock. Isn't it amazing that the people on their journey, they became thirsty. They had a need, but they could not get it from the man of God. I wish Baptists would settle in on that a preacher's just got a call about it. He produces no water and he produces no bread. It is the God that indwells me that indwells you. And you cut me, I bleed red. And you cut you, you bleed red. We all need the presence of the Savior tonight on this journey, friend. Oh, they run to Moses. They got the belly aching with Moses. And Moses said, oh no, they're about to stone me. They must have had a fifth Sunday night conference in the Baptist church. But, oh my, Moses said, Lord, what do we do? I like this. Moses cried to the Lord. That's a good place to take your troubles tonight. Wonderful place to take what's wrong with you. He cried to the Lord. And let me tell you, if we don't get back to talking to the Lord about our situation, we don't get back to doing what God's called us to do. Honey, prayer still changes things tonight. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and simply pray, then I'd hear their prayer from heaven. I'd heal their land. Honey, it's not in the White House tonight. It's that we'd pray again as our forefathers prayed and cry to a God of heaven that hear our prayer tonight. Moses cried unto the Lord. And I like what he said, just go on before the people. Somebody got to lead this outfit, amen? Now if I look around and get to looking at the situation, I'll just be honest with you, I'll be so carried and so burdened down. But aren't you glad we got a place we can go to and pray? And when you get up, he said, just travel on. Just go on before the people. Can I tell the leaders of Liberty Baptist Church, just keep a carrying on. Just keep a chugging along. Just keep a going along. You ain't got to knock the ball out of the park every time, honey. But you do have to get up and swing the bat from time to time. Hey, we're in a battle. This ain't Mickey Mouse Club. It's not Romper Room. We fight a real devil in a real world and a real flesh. And we need God back in our lives as in the day of old. Oh, friend, tonight I'm glad God had a plan of a smitten rock. You realize it was not the people's plan. It was not Moses' plan. But God had a plan. Isn't it amazing that Calvary was not an afterthought? Calvary was not a rescue mission. But Calvary was a plan for sinful man. For God knew that we were depraved creatures. And it was nothing in us to do good but to continually to do wrong. You say, not me, preacher. Oh, I'm talking to you tonight, friend. There's none good, no, not one. You better not trust this stuff that we robed in tonight. It'll get you in a world of trouble, friend. And you go to playing with a little bit of sin for a long sin to be playing you like a fiddle. I guarantee you that tonight. But oh, the plan, the smitten rock. I want to say it was an eternal plan. In Titus chapter number 1, you'll see Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm going to tell you tonight, God had an eternal plan. Before He ever spoke this world into existence, He seen His Son at Calvary to die for the sins of this whole world. I want to clarify something tonight. I don't know how men get so off balance of the sovereignty of God. I certainly believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God knows everything. God makes no mistakes tonight. But honey, let me tell you, one day, this plan that was eternal, He sent His Son to Calvary, and He died for all men. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom, not just for a few, not just for the Baptists or for the Methodists or the Church of God, but He gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Friend, you die and go to hell without Christ, you'll go there as an intruder. God never intended a man to die and go to hell. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He created hell for the devil and his angel. The Bible said, "Hell hath enlarged herself. I'll not take no other doctrine, but Christ died for all." Hallelujah. I believe He died a ransom for all. The plan of the smitten rock. It was an eternal plan. Hebrews 10 and 11. It was an essential plan. Moses was a good man. Abraham was the father of our faith, a good man. Job was a great man. But friend, there was only one man that could stand between God and men. That was the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the man that had never known sin, the man that left heaven as God, but yet the man that went back to heaven as God-man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying He left out of heaven as God, but He went back after the cross to heaven as God-man. Hey, He took on the sin of the world to die for the ungodly. I'm glad He became man, got on a cross and died for me. Hallelujah. Oh, it is an essential plan. Christ had to die. Was no accident. Pilate didn't put Him on the cross. The devil didn't put Him on the cross. But me and you put Him on the cross. By our sins and our iniquity, we put Him on the cross. Oh my, it was an eternal plan. It was an essential plan. Hebrews 10 and 11. And every priest stands daily ministering. I wish the Roman Catholic Church could see this tonight. And offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Lord, I was in Italy. And I think my wife was with me. We went in a big Colosseum. There's a little phone booth looking thing. And I'll never forget. I'll take it to my grave to see it. There's a poor lady that was bowed in front of a door. And she's speaking through a little knot hole in the door. Inside was a man dressed up in a white priestly robe with a light on inside. Bless her little heart, she has kneeled on both knees, had her hands together. She is talking through that door to a man that could never take away her sin. But I come here to tell you tonight, there is a God man that can wash away all your sins, that wash you in the blood of His darling Son. There's no priest can wash you clean tonight, but the God man can. Hallelujah.
Yes, He can.
Lord, I thought how pitiful she would get before a man and confess all her sins, and they not go higher than that phone booth. Oh, Lord, I'm glad the story don't stop there. He said this. He said in verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering in 14, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Oh my, the plan of the smitten rock. It was eternal. It was essential. And I want to say tonight, it was exceptional. In Romans 8 and verse number 32, it amazes me that Christ would die for me. It amazes me. I don't know of anybody here tonight that would give their son to die for the likes of people of this world. I mean, they some wicked, wicked deeds been done in this old world. It's amazing to me of how exceptional this was. Romans 8 and verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That amazes me. Friend, when you're singing and you think you can't raise your hands toward heaven, you ought to turn to that verse right there and say, Lord, it's amazing to me that you would give somebody like yourself to somebody like me. Oh, I'm telling you, that goes as far as anything of love that I know about. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, tonight we see the plan of the smitten rock. And then secondly, there is the place of the smitten rock. The place, it was out in a desert place. I got to thinking about this smitten rock and its place. It stands for stability. In Matthew 16, verse number 17, Jesus said these words to His church. And I sure am glad I found them years ago. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now a lot of people say, well, he built the church on Peter. No. Peter's Petros means a piece of a rock. But Christ means Petra, the essential rock. And oh, tonight, this place is a place of great stability. In Matthew 7:24, it's a place of great durability. Matthew 7 and verse number 24. The Bible there teaches us that the old saying that we're so familiar with. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Oh, tonight, friend, this rock, its stability, but its durability, I'm going to tell you, it stands the storms of time. Wind does not blow a rock. You know something, as I look this up, I got to thinking, we think a lot of times that when Moses hit this rock, it was a rock maybe like this piano. Now, I want to ask you this tonight. He told Moses, he said, you go to the rock at Horeb. Now, there was a lot of rocks this size in Horeb. There's a lot of rocks probably big as that piano in Horeb. But I'm going to tell you something. This thing was a cliff. This thing was a huge piece of rock that everybody knew where it was as a great landmark. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, friend, the winds cannot blow it. The waves cannot wash it. I'm glad that I'm built on Christ, the solid rock. Religion sinking sand. If you banking on your Baptist membership, honey, oh, the sand's going to wash out from under you one day. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, 1981, I set up housekeeping on a rock. And it is a solid rock. I'm glad I dug down deep. And I know where my roots are tonight. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the durability of the rock. The stability of the rock. But a lot of people never see this. There's a crushability of the rock. Matthew 21 and 42. They think this little lowly, lovely Jesus, He is meek and lowly, I understand that, but honey, there's a payday coming someday. Matthew 21 and 42. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables. They perceived that he spake of them. And they sought to lay hands on him. They feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. What are you saying, friend? I'm saying tonight it's going to grind millions to powder one of these days. But aren't you glad one day you fell on him broken and he fixed you up? Oh, I'm so glad he won't fall on me. I'm glad I fell on him. And I praise his good name tonight. Now we see the plan of the smitten rock, the place of the smitten rock. But thirdly, I want to go back to that text and show you something tonight. There was the pain of the smitten rock. Now I looked up that Bible word smite. It simply means this, to wound. So Moses had to wound this rock. The pain of the smitten rock. Now I don't know if you noticed this or not, but he said, take a rod in thine hand and go, and I'll stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock, there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, where are you going with the pain of the smitten rock, preacher? Well, look there in verse number 1 of Exodus 17. There is a word that is inserted, and. It means that something before was very important that runs along with this story. Now, turn back to chapter 16. And if you would and could tonight, look in verse number 2 of Exodus 16 and verse number 2. The Bible said, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord into the land of Egypt. And when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for you brought us forth in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Okay, preacher, that and, how does it hook things up? Well, here you'll notice something happen. First of all, we see the incarnation of Christ. He's become the bread of life. Can I tell you tonight that first Christ must first descend from heaven to earth as the manna did. Secondly, he must be smitten by divine judgment if he was to be the water of life. We see him as this heavenly manna. He had to be given. Isn't that amazing that God gave Christ, his only son, that heavenly manna? He came from heaven to this earth first. And secondly, judgment had to be put upon him, smitten and stricken of God to die for our sins. That's amazing to me, the pain of a smitten rock. Oh my, he is tonight now the water of life. In Isaiah 53 and verse number 3, that old story of Isaiah 53, what a powerful passage. We don't hear read much anymore. But in Isaiah 53 and in verse number 3, here it is. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken. Here's this word, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. You hear me? Every sin you've ever committed, that's what wounded him. Everything you've ever done wrong according to the commandments of this Bible, he took it upon a cross for you. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Preacher, Calvary don't do nothing for me. Friend, let me tell you something. Me and you, the one who put him on the cross. If I was the only man in the world, he'd have died for me.
And if I was the only man in the world, Brother Dennis, all of my sins would have still put him on the cross because I couldn't get to God in my unholiness. But by His just chastisement, by His just smiting of His Son, He took up on Him the servant of us all and died for the sin of this world. Oh, the only sacrifice that could make God happy. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my, tonight we see this pain of the smitten rock. You ever thought about this over there? Did you notice how them young'uns was acting? You notice how they was a belly aching and a griping and a mumbling and a complaining? I got this out of an old writer's book tonight. I love what he said. He said, God chose to judge the rock and pour His blessings out on them. You know something? He ought to judge that crowd. He ought to judge me and you. We're the ones that should have been smitten. We're the ones that should have been judged for our sins. But He judged His Son. He smote that rock. And therefore the blessings from that rock flowed on His people. That's amazing that He took our grief. He took our pain. And friend, you think for one minute I'd let somebody rearrange the doctrines of this church about Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life? Friend, let me tell you something. This thing is all about Him. It started about Him. It's all about Him. It'll end about Him. He's the one that reached and got me one day. He's the one lives in me and loves me and washed me from my sins. And it's worth standing for tonight. We've got a generation of young people coming along that need to know about this smitten rock that can wash away their sins tonight. Oh, Lord, how we ought to exalt Him and love Him and thank Him that He took our sins on an old rugged cross. Thank You, Lord. Every time we see that cross, it's not the wood, friend. It's the man that got on that old wooden cross. The God-man that died for me. And you now close with this thought tonight. God chose to judge the rock instead of His people. And then notice not only the plan of the smitten rock, the place of the smitten rock, the pain of the smitten rock, but the pouring of the smitten rock. You see it issued forth from Him. Isn't that amazing? The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 7 and verse number 37, John 7 and 37. I love these words. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Then John 19 and verse number 30. Watch what he says. John 19 and verse number 30. Jesus has went to a cross. He's cried, I thirst. They set a vessel full of vinegar and filled a sponge and put it on a hyssop, put it to His mouth. Then verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Now watch what happens. And the Jews, because of the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, they might be taken away. Came the soldiers, break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with Him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. You notice tonight in verse 30, He said, it is finished. He didn't say He was finished, but it was finished. I'm glad the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world was finished. He came to do what God had sent Him to do. He came to die. We came to live. But He was born to die on an old rugged cross.
You see, tonight, there is the pouring of the smitten rock. But then lastly, I want you to see this Bible truth in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. There is the presence of the smitten rock. The Bible tells us something now that picks up that Exodus does not tell us. And I want to show you that tonight in closing. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4. He said this. We'll read verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual drink. And here it is. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. On their whole journey, water followed them. Gushed out of a rock. Gave them all that they needed for their cleansing, their water. Some 3 million young'uns stretched out across the desert. Everywhere they would turn, there would be God because of a smitten rock. They would have plenty of water. Can I tell you that that same Christ is a following me and you today? Can I tell you that same Christ that got on the cross, that old Roman took that spear and put it in his side, and for without came blood and water. Oh, the Bible said when he was ascended, he would send another, the Comforter. And that same Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead tonight, not an it, not an influence, but a divine person. Not a personality, but a person. The Holy Ghost, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Now He follows His children along, letting us refresh us and refuel us. Let us wash. Aren't you glad the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I'm glad tonight of Christ, the spiritual rock. How many times have you come? No longer did we have to smite that rock. We simply just had to bow and ask Him, Lord, help me in my situation. And there was Christ that has followed you through every storm, walked with you through every valley, been with you every mile of the way. Oh, Lord, He deserves our praise tonight, young'uns. I'm glad He was smitten for me. He was smitten for you, sinner, tonight. You may be here and know not this Jesus. I'm going to tell you, He died for you. And He loved you. And He said He would send the Holy Spirit to convict our heart. And you better listen to Him tonight. Oh, I'm glad He loves us. Child of God, there's none perfect. No, not one. But we're going to walk in fellowship with the Savior. We got to stay cleaned out, tuned up. We ought to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stand with us tonight. Brother David, what's your number?